Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. The Jug Life is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like weightlifters, powerlifters, and CrossFitters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/juglife to support the show and see if you qualify. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/juglife or mention the promo code JUGLIFE when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here, another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. We are coming to you from Columbus, Ohio, the Arnold. I'm joined, as always, by marvelous Max Montana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing at home?
And our guest today, Miss Maddie Rogers.
Hello.
Thanks for coming, Maddie.
Thank you.
So today's podcast is brought to you by Old Lady Names and Instagram Fame. It's a lifestyle, one that Martha Rogers lives. I'll never get over your name being Martha. It's so
fun. What's your middle name?
Anne.
Martha.
It makes it even worse.
Oh, just drives the point home.
Yeah, it really does.
So yesterday, Maddie competed in the Pan Am Trials session here at the Arnold. Why don't you give us a little recap of the weekend for you?
Well, that session was like, since it was on that different Rogue stage, it was kind of, it felt more like an exhibition than like an actual meet, just because there was the crowd, then there was the standing crowd, then there was the moving crowd in the back, and then like our tiny little warm-up room. But I mean, it was really fun, I thought, with all of that, and then just being in the session with like all the weight classes instead of like your normal weight class. That was really cool.
How'd you feel about your lifting?
Honestly, I did a lot better than I expected, just because I took a full month off after Worlds, and then just coming back from that it's probably been like the worst like comeback that I've ever had to do. So I wasn't super confident going in. I was feeling okay around maybe 90% lifts, and we went to like 93-95%, so not like anything crazy for me, but it was better than it could have been for sure.
Is that pretty normal for you to take a month off after big meets?
I've never taken that much time off. I mean, after I think it was 2016, I took a few weeks, and then this time I went on vacation. I was trying to strategically plan the whole quad because I was kind of dead the last one.
You competed like six times in 2017, right?
I competed quite a bit. So we were trying to just make sure going into the start of every year, it was a fresh start. So
Chad and I talk about that a lot of times, is you had a string of meets that were maybe how many in a row with like without a single miss?
Six meets, six for six, right?
Yeah, it was six for six. And then I don't remember which one it was. I missed like one. I'm like, it's over.
Local meet. It wasn't like a local.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then I think after that was like Pan Ams, which was like 5 for 6. Right. Worlds was only 3 for 6. So at least this one was a 5 for 6. So maybe it's starting to come back up a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes it tough too, the way the qualifying procedures are set up, to kind of be okay to take that time of, all right, I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to, train in a different way to kind of set yourself up for 2020 success. Mm-hmm. And maybe a little bit different for you because you're pretty much on every team, even if you aren't lifting quite at 100%. But that's something we've seen as a really hard way to organize the training.
Yeah, you basically kind of feel, do you ever feel forced into doing like I gotta do this too many meets back to back to try and make it and sort of ensure that you're gonna be there?
I mean, leading up to like 2016, I definitely did. I think I competed like 9 times going up to that. And this one, I think it's, I don't know if it's organized better or I just am in a better place than I was, where I only have to do like the qualifier for whatever international and then the 2 international, and then anything else is extra.
Right.
So really it's not, I don't ever feel like pressured to have to do any of them. It's more for fun if I do extra.
So if we were to, let's take a quick rewind here as we're talking a little bit about 2016, but even go before that, if you give a quick recap of sort of your introduction to the sport of weightlifting and that whole thing, because at this point, you're what, 22
mm-hmm.
now? At 22 years old, weightlifting fans have really seen so much Maddie Cakes that they're like, oh, she's been around forever. But it's only been 4 years, 5 years. So a pretty meteoric rise there. So how'd you get started in the sport?
Well, I did gymnastics for 12 years first. And then that was like from birth on. I didn't really have a choice in that one. And then I got into competitive cheerleading for 4 or 5 years. And from there, my coach was actually interested in CrossFit. He was like, hey, you should come try it. And then that's where I met Danny, who's my coach now. And I think the whole time he was trying to like secretly pull me into weightlifting, but he never did anything. He's like, you do whatever you want. So I did a little bit of CrossFit for about a year. And then 2014 was my first like junior national meet. And then from there, I basically came home and I was like, well, I had no idea that weightlifting was even an Olympic sport. Like, I didn't know there was a Team USA. I didn't know anything. So I came home and I was like, this is what I want to do. And then from mid like 2014 to 2016, it was basically just compete everywhere that I possibly could to try and like slowly work my way up to try and making Team USA and then Olympic trials and all that.
So, we did a podcast with Danny at trials in 2016 and asked him about meeting you and your first training session together, or maybe not even an official training session, but sort of what it sounded like you felt was a tryout.
Yeah.
And, and like he said that you snatched like 60 kilos.
No, I snatched like 48 or something. It was, okay. I felt so weird. I felt like I sucked. And I think that's why I didn't like go right to weightlifting, because I was like, that feels just weird. Like, I don't like that. I like CrossFit because I can do like gymnastic stuff that I'm comfortable with.
Well, whatever the number was that you snatched, I remember him, it being, even if it was 48 the first time that you snatched as a 16-year-old girl, like, that's pretty excellent. And I think,
I don't know.
And, but that you were all nervous about it, and he felt like he sort of had to, like, not show his excitement about the potential he saw.
I had like, no idea. He thought it was
I guess there's a lot to work on, but we can try.
Yeah. If you show up every day and try really hard, I guess we can do something with this.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it went.
Yeah. Did you feel like after a certain period of time kind of getting into it that you felt like maybe not like super confident, but like you could be pretty decent at it?
Honestly, like, I thought I was the worst weightlifter. I don't know if it was because he never was like, oh, that was great. But I was like, I feel weird. And obviously being a gymnast, my leg strength just was not, all like upper body. So I would skip squats because I sucked at them. I got pinned with all my cleans. I bombed my first meet. I was like, I'm not very good at this. But I mean, I liked it. So I kept trying. And then I think eventually I just kind of like, I don't know what it was. I just didn't really like CrossFit that much. And then I started getting involved with like understanding like technique and all that and weightlifting. And that kind of drew me into it a little more.
You hear that, kids? Even Martha Cakes bombed at her first meet. So
I bombed.
There's hope for you yet.
I didn't even know I bombed. I was like, did I do good? And he's like, well, you have to go compete again. So
that's awesome. Bombing out and asking if you did good or not.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So your legs are pretty weak from gymnastics. What are your best squats now?
All-time best, 175 back squat and like a 150 front squat. Obviously not at the moment, but
sure.
I mean, even my first like 2 years, I think till like 2015, I got pinned with 2 out of 3 cleans in competition. So we had to work really, really hard on just building leg strength because it was not what my best part of weightlifting was at all.
Right. And you definitely don't have what someone would think is like an ideal weightlifting body.
No.
That particularly when you were competing as a 63, I remember seeing those pictures or videos you getting introduced at junior nationals or something, and it's 5'2", 5'3", 5'5", and then you're 5'8", and this little lanky weightlifter. Yeah. So
I mean, that's still how it is, even as a 69, especially like internationally, like their heads are about where my shoulders are. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think I have to work a little bit harder on squats than the smaller, shorter people, but I think I make do pretty okay.
At Worlds, did you feel like this Worlds, like in just in terms of the actual competitors, was any different than other international meets you'd been at? I mean, obviously, people were missing, the 9 countries weren't there. I kind of noticed like some of the South American men were, I mean, obviously it was that guy in the 94s that looked like he must have been 6'5".
Yeah.
He looked like a basketball player out of the 70s. Yeah. The singlet, the blue one.
Oh, the Brazilian lifter.
Brazilian, yeah. Like, do you feel like it was a little bit different, the caliber of people, or just the level of competition?
It felt very different. It felt kind of weird just because I think of the missing countries. So, like, when you go to an international, at least for me, like, I'm excited to see, like, the Russia, the China, and, like, right. all those big names and, like, the famous weightlifters. And having none of them there, I mean, it still felt like a world and, like, an international meet, but it wasn't as, I guess, intimidating. So, like, going into the session, like, you go and you have your assigned platform and you're looking around and you see, like, 9 different people that you're like, oh, my God, these people are, like, so good. And, like, being able to go in, like, I have a chance at doing something instead of being 15th, 16th like I was in the past worlds. I don't know how to explain it. It felt almost more like a national meet in that aspect.
Well, and you had to be in such a different place in your career. Yeah. 2015 worlds in Houston, that was your first worlds, your first senior international team even?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think I made, I didn't make Pan Ams that year.
Yeah, because you had just moved up to 69.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this kind of breakthrough moment and more of just like a, oh, happy to be here sort of thing. Where 2016 worlds, you're coming in and now it's you're the Matty Rogers at that point. Sure, people had different expectations of you, and you had different expectations of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, you know, being a famous weightlifter kind of thing, do you feel a different kind of pressure at meets because of that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's any pressure because I don't think about that. Like, I don't feel like there's no, like, oh, I'm a famous weightlifter. Like, I don't feel that way at all. I think the only difference between, like, 2015 and now is I would go to a meet then, and no one would know, like, no one would care. I'd be able to walk straight through and people would be like, who is this chick? But now the only, like, pressure I feel is, like, being in the venue, like, before I compete is almost kind of stressful because there's people that want to talk, they want to take pictures, they want to do all this. And
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah,
it's
tough,
right?
It is tough. I don't mind it, of course.
Photographs, autographs, kissing babies and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very flattering, very nice, and it's super cool because that's for a weightlifter, that doesn't happen a lot, but it is like slightly stressful because sometimes you're like, I just want to like get to the training hall, do my workout, not have eyes on me. So that's the only part of that that's like a little different now.
So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we want to talk to Matty about something that I see as like a sort of real pivotal moment in her career, and then a little bit more about the current state of USA Weightlifting and a bit about her own training.
The Jug Life is proud to be sponsored by HealthIQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like powerlifters, weightlifters, and CrossFitters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/juglife to support the show and see if you qualify. HealthIQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including powerlifters, weightlifters, and CrossFitters. 56% of HealthIQ customers save between 4% and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to HealthIQ. HealthIQ can save our customers up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, HealthIQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. Learn more and get a free quote at healthiq.com/juglife. That's to see if you qualify and get your free quote at healthiq.com/juglife or mention the promo code JUGLIFE when you talk to a HealthIQ agent.
All right, we are back on the Jug Life podcast, joined today by Matty Rogers. And here at the Arnold, just came off the Pan Am trials session, and Matty's on her way to Pan Am soon in the Dominican Republic. But as we kind of look back in her career, one of the biggest meets, well, the biggest meet, I guess, in the last several years in the U.S. was the 2016 Olympic trials. And there was some controversy around that and the way that the selection to the team happens. And it was a big meet, I think, in Matty's life and her weightlifting career for sure. As you look back at 2016 Olympic trials and you know, not making the Olympic team, especially under the circumstances that it was, of being the best lifter at Olympic trials, which, you know, if you talk to a non-weightlifting fan and you tell them, well, I was the best lifter at Olympic trials, and they're like, oh, so you went to the Olympics? And they're like, oh, no, because it's, you know, it's this projected placing thing, and we had this other special rule. Yeah, as you look back at that experience, how do you think that that has changed you as a competitor going forward?
I mean, that it obviously was a very difficult situation to deal with. I don't think it didn't change much. I mean, it took a lot for me to come back from that, because we had Pan Ams a few months after, and I was just in this just like shithole, for lack of a better term. But I think the only thing that it really changed was managing rest, and why I took a month off after this year, because going into the Olympic trials, I mean, my training had been better than it, even to this point. I haven't trained that well yet. And I think just having the like 18 months of trying to play catch up with the other girls and trying so hard, and I was like, get like one more spot closer. And I think my body was just dead, and there was nothing left at Olympic trials. And I mean, I did everything that I could. And I mean, the procedures are the procedures. There's nothing that I could have done about that. But just trying to handle the training load and training smarter into this next quad is really the biggest difference. And trying to be prime peaked in my best shape at the Olympic trials this time around, rather than like a few months before, to where I'm like dead come trials.
Well, I'm sure a big part of the, you know, the training process and making everything as effective as possible, you do a lot of work with our friends at RP Strength and Nick Shaw.
Yes.
And what's your favorite part of that, and maybe your least favorite part of being a sharp dieter?
I don't know, because like I've never been a person that's like, I want to eat shit all day long, because I don't feel horrible. Yeah. Like, I love having a routine, and I love being able to be like, at this point I just know my numbers, rest day, training day, two a days. I'll be like, okay, I need this much. It's easier to prepare. Like even coming here, I prepped and like froze stuff, and I can just like pull from it, and just having like that knowledge and now kind of understanding it too, it makes me feel so much better about eating, training, recovering, all of it, because I understand it. It's easy. I always know what I have to do, whether it's traveling or at home. So it's just, I mean, there's nothing that I don't like about it, honestly. Yeah.
You're not sitting there like thinking like, oh, I probably shouldn't have this fifth empanada today.
I mean, because I haven't had to cut super hard yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have had to cut maybe at the most 2 kilos.
It was right when you started with them, that's when you were moving up from 63 to 69.
Yeah, because I first reached out to them, or they reached out to me, or I think you might have put that together.
It's most good things I do.
Yeah, so probably. And I think Nick was like, all right, we got how many weeks? And I was like, yeah, we got 2 weeks and like 8 kilos to lose. And he was like, all right. We'll try. And then I think he wasn't going to tell me that it was not possible. But then like after like a week, and I was like, so we have like 7 more kilos to go. I think I'm going to move up. And he's like, okay, that's great. This is what you're going to do. And then I moved up. I think it was senior nationals 2015.
Dallas nationals?
Right after
Dallas.
Yeah.
I thought you lifted as a 63 at those nationals, didn't you?
I was a light 69.
Okay.
That was my first one.
So this is kind of going back to the like the procedures for qualifying, and I'd kind of like to get your opinion. It seems like over the course of the last 30 years or so in USAW, the procedures for getting to the Olympics have been different almost every quad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think in terms of not necessarily the specific procedure, because that's just kind of up in the air, and it benefits, well, historically it's always been this thing where I think a lot of people felt like USAW was weightlifting was a sort of dead-end sport. The people would get in charge, the CEOs would get in charge, they would just kind of use it as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. So procedures were kind of just created in a way to sort of like facilitate whatever political moves they could make for other people to get, you know, get this guy in or get that girl in or whatever. Yeah. But do you feel like there's do you feel like things would be better for you, or things would be better for everybody, if there was a standardized procedure that just became like a gold standard that we just used for the next 10 quads or whatever?
I think, I mean, Yes and no, because I think obviously I don't quite agree with the past quads, but I also am probably pretty biased.
Right.
But I always think that there's room to change because the sport will change, the people involved will change. I mean, now all the weight classes are changing. So I think that there should be some sort of like year or quad to quad standard, but then there could be like small tweaks.
Right.
I think I haven't heard all of it yet, but what they're going towards for this quad sounds better to me.
Yeah, it seems like this one will be much more
straightforward.
Yeah, and much more in the athlete's control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because I'm always curious. We had last quad, we had a situation where Jenny was given a spot based on how she had done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was almost like a retroactive sort of like, sorry, we fucked up because of Bergner, the quad before.
The Casey, right? The Casey Bergner rule.
Right. So there's all these, and then it seems like you can't necessarily, it's not necessarily the wrong thing, but it's like two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. Kinda. And then now this quad, they're like, well, we're definitely not doing that
right.
again.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
So.
Like, Casey Bergner probably didn't watch the Olympics and was like, when Jenny Arthur's up there looking, I feel like it's me. Yeah. So with the new weight classes, what do you hope is your new number?
I hope there's something between like a 70-72, because I don't like lifting at the weight that I am right now. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better at like 70-71. So even anything up to like 73, if I could fill it out, that would be like ideal for me. I think Danny is like, well, you could do 67, but I don't like being on the lighter side for how tall I am. I just like feel so much stronger with those couple extra kilos.
Yeah,
73, putting the cakes and Maddie cakes with that one for sure.
We'll see.
That would be a good weight class though, because that's what Alex wants.
Yeah,
too.
I think that my thought is that whatever the classes are going to be, everyone internationally and nationally is going to want to go up.
Yeah.
Right. There might be like someone here or there that's like struggling to maintain and they're going to drop down, but it's just a beneficial move for everybody. And it's a great time for everyone to just do that. Do you think that, because we know there's 10 weight classes and then 7 at the Olympics, and this is the sort of like, I think one of those like the elephant in the room thing, like what are those three classes that maybe don't get the announcement they're going to the spots?
Yeah.
And maybe that'll change every quad if it continues, but what would you do if, you know, there's the class that you're wanting to be in doesn't get selected? I mean, are you willing to go that far with the empanadas and just...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
move
I don't...
up the classes
what
to
if
get
the,
in,
what if the options were 65 or 76?
Honestly, I don't know if I could ever, like, fill out 76 and not feel like a bowling ball. But, I mean, I guess I would have to go... I would have to do it somehow, one way or another.
Make it happen, right?
Yeah, I guess. And is that, I haven't had the whole process explained to me, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to take the 10 and pull from them, or make 7 totally different?
No,
it'll be 7 of those existing 10.
Oh.
So I know, like, they reference, like, taekwondo, and I believe maybe boxing is like that, where they have, like, 10 classes at the Worlds, but the Olympics is just 7 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's everyone's up in the air, like, what are they going to be?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
and so
I'd guess almost for sure for the women, that second heaviest weight class will be out. So let's say the weight classes become, you know, 95 or, like, you know, 82, 95, 95 plus.
Right.
I bet at the Olympics it'll just be 82 plus.
Right, 82
and
super.
Be like to cut
it's probably
out
it's easy to get rid of that one under the supers, because then it just goes from that's the top to super.
Because whatever is that equivalent of the 90 kilo class,
right?
They're not going to have that one because they just added it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that's closest to 62s on the men probably won't be in. Definitely the one that's closest to 94s on the men.
Right,
they've IWF has directly said like they are not going to be in because people who weigh 96 kilos, they can't do drugs.
Right.
They hate drugs.
The real question is, how many people are going to email Nick Shaw when this information comes out and be like, Nick, I got to lose 15 kilos in 2 weeks?
Everyone's going to do that.
Or I could see maybe a special on massing templates.
Nick, I got to gain 15 kilos in 2 weeks.
He better be writing that plan for 76 kilo Maddie.
He's just waiting. He's already got everything filled out. He's just got to punch the numbers in.
Like, you know, on the templates, you have all the lean proteins, intra workout carbs, post workout carbs. This one will just be like, you know, canola oil.
Shitload. <Yeah.
laughs> Just drink it all day.
Like this is all my trans. I haven't hit my trans fats for the day. Just get one of those like turkey flavor injectors, just shooting it right in the mouth.
That'll be on your Insta story at some point.
Oh yeah, I mean if I have
just
to move up to
Chad Wesley Smith with turkey basters.
Yeah, do it for the gram. Yeah, so you're a phenomenal weightlifter, but you're also a student still. Yes. Yes? So what's a typical, maybe a week in the life? How much of class are you going to? How many times are you training?
Well, I just finished at, because I was at like a local four-year school, and I'm transferring to a specialty program now. So that'll start in the summer. So this past semester has been really chill,
like
only
specialty
online.
For what?
Sports and exercise science.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
So
I was thinking like welding, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to be a welder.
Yeah, that would be. That was
plumbing, yeah, all of it. I'll do all of it. But before that, I had usually like two or three classes a semester. So not like a full course load, because I can't with everything that I have to do. And I'll do two a days twice a week, and then train 6 days. Sunday's always rest day. I mean, and it doesn't, I guess, like putting it that way, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, a training session can take 3 hours easily between like warming up, doing in the whole training session, and then cooling down after, getting there.
Are you training at home a lot now?
I'll usually do like my morning sessions at home.
What do your morning sessions consist of versus the afternoon sessions?
Mornings are usually the strength stuff. So right. Squats, pulling, pressing, usually pretty much every morning session. And then Wednesdays are also more strength focused. And then the afternoons will always be more technical stuff.
Right.
So I don't like to do that at home because, one, I like to have my coach there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Being in like a gym atmosphere is a little bit better. And I think my garage is slightly like tilted.
Right? So you have to turn each set.
I can feel
it. One leg's going to get longer than the other.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe two or three sessions at home and the rest are at the gym.
And the, over these last couple of years, you've kind of taken some time off of school, gone different amounts, but you graduated high school when you were 16 years old, right?
Well, I graduated at like the regular time, but I'd spent my junior and senior year 100% at a college. So I took my,
like Doogie Howser.
Very much a Doogie Howser scenario here.
Is, oh, but
you don't know Doogie?
No.
You know Neil Patrick Harris is? The Barney from How I Met Your Mother?
He used to be a doctor.
Know.
That TV show just went off the air like 2 years ago.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I get yelled at all the time for not seeing, I guess, the cool stuff.
We have a lot of references that we make, and
you're being let down.
I'm so sorry.
You're being let down right now.
That's not new. But yeah, I graduated when I was 18, because I have an August birthday, so it's like older. But yeah, I did junior, senior year, all at college that counted as high school and college credits. So it should have sped up the college process, but then I took like a year and a half, 2 years off. So it's like the 8 year, 4 year plan right now. So.
Well, you had stuff to lift over your head.
Yeah, so. I had to do some lifting.
And so getting into the strength and conditioning, or the exercise science, mm-hmm. So that'll be your major mm-hmm. now. And obviously you're off to a good start because Manny did tell me that she once spent an entire day watching the Juggernaut. YouTube.
I took notes.
Wow.
Yeah, and took notes. So studious.
Did. There you go.
Yeah.
So you basically have a degree already. And
I mean, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
PhD.
PhD.
Play a hated degree. Yeah. What do you foresee yourself doing with that? Because I know you coach the youth weightlifters mm-hmm. now and have a lot of really good youth lifters.
Yeah.
You just want to stay involved with the sport?
It's kind of hard to tell. That's why I want to just get it so I have it. I have the knowledge because I want to know about how everything works. I want to know why I train this way, why I program. Because I program with my like slight knowledge that I've learned from you guys too. But I don't know like all of the science, and I want to know. I don't want to just blindly program or blindly train.
I was very flattered, by the way, when you told us.
It's interesting.
It was mostly my videos that you were watching, right? Not so much with the
I just clicked play, and I sat there on the couch for like 5 hours. And just
The ones that I was telling you about, the scientific principles of weightlifting, mm-hmm. where the first one came out today. The first one came out today.
So, I'll have to watch it. Take
maybe,
notes.
Maybe for the flight home or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know exactly what I want to do yet, because this weightlifting can take me so many different directions, and it could be over tomorrow or it could be over in 10 years, like my actual athletic career. Right. So it's kind of hard to tell. So it's more of like my backup plan, and more because social media, as much as I kind of hate it sometimes, it plays a big part in my lifting career, and it's a moneymaker for me. So if I can carry that for as long as I can, then I won't need a degree per se, but I want to have the knowledge. I want to be able to go and get the different certifications that you can get after if I wanted to. I really am interested in like the different recovery methods and like Graston and soft tissue and all that stuff, and I want to be able to do that on either my own athletes or elsewhere. So I kind of have no idea, but I'm just kind of heading in that direction.
Kind of be able to be like a one-stop shop as a coach, where you can help them with nutrition stuff from what you've learned with RP, and help them with the training, and help them with recovery and prehab type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's really like the optimal model, because it's one thing to have a nutritionist, a coach, a physical therapist, and them to communicate well with each other. I think a lot of times people have those different parties and they never speak. Mm-hmm. But if you have it all in one person, they know exactly, well, I'm adjusting this way, so now we can do more volume because of higher calories, because of whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
James Smith would be extremely proud right now.
Yes.
The unified field theory of coaching. That's actually like one of the most probably mature answers I've ever heard from an athlete, saying like understanding like could end tomorrow or in 10 years, or like just a very like, that's very commendable.
Well, I just want to be prepared. Like I understand that with any sport, it can't be your whole life. You have to have something after athletics. So I think especially as a coach, it's cool because like I'll have a kid come up to me like, this hurts, this doesn't feel right. And I'll be like, okay, what did you eat? Let me touch you, like let me adjust your program. So
you have to say hashtag safe sport before you touch somebody.
Hashtag safe sport.
Yeah. Speaking of the social media stuff, though, did you ever get like a window company sponsorship from that one? Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace?
I did not, but I think I hear about it at least once a week in some way or another.
Because that's one I was pushing for. I was like, this is going to be money.
Yeah, that'd be huge.
I should have, but I think when it happened, I was like more embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, I broke a whole gym.
Homeowner's insurance or something. What is it, Allstate?
Yeah.
That'd be a great sponsorship. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I could see the Mayhem guy like, I'm a 20-year-old Olympic hopeful weightlifter.
Oh, yeah.
I just smashed a barbell through this window.
That would actually be really good ad.
Yeah, well, there you go. If anyone ever asked me about these things, we would have had it. We would have had that commercial.
Or have Maddie speaking with the other guy's voice, right?
Exactly.
That'd be very good.
And I think it's the other guy's voice coming out of Maddie.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Maddie's,
You see Maddie.
We all know what it's going to be like. I have the whole thing in my head.
We got a storyboard. We got a storyboard going.
Yeah.
So as you look forward into the rest of 2018 and moving down the rest of this quad, beyond maybe just for the rest of 2018, what are some things you feel like you need to do to improve as a weightlifter?
I think the biggest thing is I've kind of let my mental game slip, as weird as that sounds. Like, I don't think there's anything more that I need to be doing aside from just going to the gym and working every day and trying to build back up. I need to build more strength. I need to gain weight, obviously. But I think there's a big difference between like early 2016, like mental aspect of training, and now. I think I've been a little bit, not like spastic in my head, but there's a hyper focused and there's a focus. And I think I'm kind of slipped to like somewhere in the not so, I mean, obviously I'm focused. It's really hard to explain because I've.
Do you think some of that comes with early 2016, you were the chaser trying to catch up to those people, and now you're the chasee?
Kind of, but I it doesn't make a difference in my training at all, because I know there's people that are trying to basically rip me out of my spot and then claw their way up themselves. So there's still that same like motivation to push every day. I think one of the biggest things, especially with competing, is then I really would focus on like walking on stage and enjoying it. And the last almost year, it's been a lot of like, okay, I need to make this lift, I need to do this, and it's less of I'm doing this because I love it, because I enjoy it, and that makes a huge difference in my performance, I think.
Do you feel like there's a difference where, and I was kind of curious about this, you're in a position now where you're basically, you walk in and your openers are going to win these competitions, and you know, nationally and whatnot.
Yeah.
When you go into like Pan Ams and whatnot, on a regular basis, in your training days, you know, not every day is going to be a heavy session or maximum, but in your training days, do you feel like if you were in an environment where there were people that were same weight class, maybe a little better, that kind of like, you know, being the carrot for you to chase, it would change things? Or do you feel like you have to kind of have a different psychology about your training to make up for that?
I mean, that would obviously be nice, but I think I'm really intrinsically motivated that I don't know if it would like make or break anything, because like right now I train with we have a lot of high school kids, a lot of like older adults that'll do it for fun, and then there's a couple competitive people that'll come here and there, but for the most part it's more of like a high school, like let's go lift today kind of gym. And I mean, I prefer to train by myself most days, so I don't think that would really change much for me.
I remember when I coached high school football for a couple of years, and the rare times that I would lift the same time that the team was in there, it was like, I can never miss or do anything badly, because I was Coach Smith. I was like being held on this pedestal, and I didn't want to ruin the image for them.
So when I lift with athletes, it's much more like Eastbound and Down, like Kenny Powers, like bench pressing in the high school gym, yelling at kids. Did you ever have, or do you currently have, did have anyone you looked up to, like internationally or whatever, that was like your, like, that's the girl or guy that I'm, you know?
When I first started, it was, I think I've told this story a couple times, it was Jenny Arthur. Like, I got into weightlifting and I was like, let me go follow and like watch videos so I can try and understand. And I landed on Jenny's page from like Hook Grip or something. Mm-hmm. And I think I like commented, I was like, hey, what weight class are you? You're so great, blah, blah, blah. And then that was like my first like inspiration, I guess, was Jenny Arthur. And I think now it's gotta be the Colombian 69 lady. I mean, I love her as a person as well, because we've competed together now for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she's beat me every single time. So I know I'm sure she's going for a 2020 run, but I hope that eventually we can compete, like, both of us at our peaks and just really compare skill and strength. And, I mean, of course, I'd like to eventually beat her, but I really look up to her as well.
That's awesome. That's really cool. She was there at Worlds, right?
Yes, she won gold, which was so awesome to see, because she was so emotional about it. And it was cool because I was like, at this point, we're kind of friends. We don't speak the same language at all. But
you ever talk to her?
I've tried, but my Spanish is horrible. Her English is about as good as my Spanish. So, I mean, it's more just like a hug. Hi, how are you? And then she, of course, was like in tears on the podium. It was, of course, I would love to win. And it would have been great if I won that one. But it was cool. It was a really cool moment for her, I'm sure.
That's really cool.
So you did get recently moved up from the bronze to the silver.
Unofficially, yeah.
Well, I bet that it'll become official.
I would hope but, so.
Because of positive doping tests. And as this problem continues to linger, and some of these decisions with, like, Ilya being reinstated and stuff, as someone who's living it on a daily basis, competing against people who I'm sure that, you know, you basically know or think as strongly as possible are breaking the rules, how do you feel competing against someone who feels breaking the rules?
I mean, I think as a weightlifter specifically, once you get into the higher level, that's just something you have to deal with. Like, I don't think that it could ever be completely clean, but I think this year's Worlds especially was a huge step. I mean, just looking at how many people were sanctioned in 2015 compared to 2017, granted there were 9 less countries, but I mean, there's definitely a big change in the amount of doping at Worlds, and I guess the Olympics, are they still up for debate with however many countries they let in, or is that to be evaluated?
I don't think anyone knows. I think that there's going to be more meetings.
Russia, I think, continued to fuck themselves in the Winter Olympics when their curler was popping. If your curler is doping, everyone's doping.
Yes.
So they just don't seem to, because they seem unwilling to admit, like, yes, we've been doing this, we've been doing it wrong. They're just saying it, blaming it on everyone else. But
it seems like they're just stuck. They're just stuck in the 1950s and 60s. They just can't, you know, they can't move past it and find a system and move on beyond that without the drugs, right? I mean, and it's just such, it's become like such an ingrained idea into so many athletes. And just my limited experience with like some of the Eastern Europeans, it's a totally different perspective where here you go to national championships and it's just the assumption that like, you know, like the assumption that all the people that are competing on the podium are clean. It's mm-hmm. it's just very obvious, right? It's not a, there's never a question. Sure, there's people that are yeah. getting popped here and there.
Yeah, or it's like everyone thinks it's this one or two.
Right. People yeah, it's just one club like, or one guy or whatever. Person, yeah. yeah. Like that's, it's pretty obvious. They all know. But like there, it's just like this perception, the opposite. It's like, oh, everyone's doing it. Like, yeah. if you said you weren't, they would be like, oh, come on.
Well, yeah, it'd be more yeah. reverse. It's the one person right. who's not doing it. They're like, look at this dumbass. He comes to weightlifting.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He comes to weightlifting meet with no D-ball.
Yeah. yeah, so that's a very, like, I think it's just, they're just stuck in that. They can't, unless they at some point decide to break out of that culturally, they're probably always going to end up, you know, getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar, right?
I mean, yeah, man, there's a few other countries that are the same way.
Right, right.
So.
And a lot of it's probably just that whole, you know, the seed of it started in Russia, you know, years ago. Just yeah. wherever they went, the mm-hmm. Bulgarians went, they just kind of, you know.
And then, yeah, countries where people are lifting record numbers and never testing positive, so.
Yeah.
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 WADA got to get a little more clever to figure that one out. I'm looking forward to watching the documentary about that one day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got Pan Ams coming up. Any other cool things coming up for you?
Pan Ams and then Worlds. And I think that's, well, whenever the new weight classes come out, right. that's another interesting thing that we're all going to have to.
When you start your amazing
out.
Bulking plan.
Well, yeah. And then I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, that we're all going to have to compete again sometime before Worlds to kind of like not ensure our spot, but I think like whatever your total is, it has to like go to the closest higher weight class. I don't know, it's really confusing. So there's probably going to be AO2 maybe.
Yeah,
well, I know
probably be there as well.
AO3 is the one that's actually going to have the new weight classes.
Oh, AO2 won't in July?
No, I thought AO2 would have the new classes.
That's what I was told.
I thought it was AO3.
I also heard a rumor that like there we may know the classes prior to the actual release, and that if you weigh under that or within that realm at nationals, then you can apply that towards. But I mean,
so would that be Pan Ams for us?
Be Pan Ams for
none
you guys.
None of the Pan Am team.
Right?
I mean, I guess.
But
you
you're
could.
Not gonna. Who's gonna go to Pan Ams and be 2 kilos over the weight class they should be in?
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I thought it was AO3 was the only meet that was actually going to have the new weight classes. They'll know what they are at AO2 because the announcement is supposed to be like early July, but then the meet is.
Well, I know
of July.
The IWF is meeting in Colorado Springs before that. They said meeting in like March. So
yeah, I thought we were supposed to know by like May.
Right.
And
yeah.
then July would be AO2.
And there's probably like officially knowing versus, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody forwarded the PDF they weren't supposed to, you know.
yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll be 70, 71, 72-kilo class.
Would be
we'll
be fantastic.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for you. They probably already know, but where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram with Maddie Cakes with 5 S's, or my Twitter that is very uncensored and probably not a good place to follow. But Maddie-Rogers. And I also have an athlete Facebook, which is
Dash
just Maddie Rogers.
Dash Rogers or underscore Rogers?
Dash.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a Maddie Cakes page with 4 S's or 6 S's or both?
I would honestly assume so because I've been trying to figure out how to get that stupid blue check on Instagram and it has not been working well. So I'm sure there's plenty of imitators at this point.
That could be our meme page.
With 4 S's.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You can find me, max_Ada with 1 X on Instagram. Or on Facebook.
Do you think there's max_Ada with 3 X's?
I guarantee there. Well, not, well, I mean, other than the one I own, there may be other ones.
Not Max Ada.
There is a fake Max Ada.
I've seen fake Max Ada. On
there's a fake, fake Max Ada on Waiting Forums. Yeah. Whoever you are.
Or is it the real Max Ada?
It's not me, because I
not,
would.
Not Max.
Well,
Ada.
What I would do is put the real Max Ada to throw people off, because obviously a guy's not going to put that down if it's really him.
Crafty.
Right? Or email me max@jtsstrength.com.
And I'm Chad Wilsley Smith @ChadWilsleySmith on and at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram, filling up your newsfeed all day. This is the Jug Life Podcast. If you enjoy it, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, write us something funny and or nice, and maybe I'll read it on the air, but I didn't pick one out today to read, so we'll have to wait until the next time. Coming up, Max and I will be in New York, March 23rd and 24th. The event on the 23rd at JDI Barbell is already all booked up. And then the 24th will be at Outlift Athletics in Long Island for a free squat clinic, and then Jug Life Live. Then Friday the 13th, Friday, April 13th, we'll be at CrossFit Oakland for a free snatch clinic and another Jug Life Live. And look for more events like that coming in the future. Definitely to Texas later in the year. Maybe we'll pop by Florida and hang out with Maddie sometime this summer as well.
Yeah.
And subscribe to the YouTube. I mean, Maddie watches the YouTube and takes notes.
I
don't know what more of a endorsement you really need. So this is the Jug Life Podcast. You can find us on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and of course, thejuglife.com. Thanks for watching and or listening, and we'll see you next week.